98.5. Here's the latest news, brought to you by Pace, transforming places since 1978.
National Radio News.
Good morning, I'm Laura Devoy. Australia's coronavirus death toll has risen to 103, with a man in his 80s dying in Victoria overnight. Yesterday marked a month since Australia's last COVID fatality. Victoria has also reported another 20 COVID-19 cases, which were diagnosed in the past 24 hours. One of those is in hotel quarantine. Seven are linked to known outbreaks, nine were found in routine testing, and three are still under investigation. Victoria's Chief Health Officer Brett Sutton says people should look into other options for testing to reduce demand on busy clinics.
People should go to their GPs in the first instance to see if they can get testing there. That's obviously going to be much more straightforward for them if they've got a booking, but also to look around the website and see what alternative testing sites they might be able to go to where the pressures on numbers aren't quite so great.
Meanwhile, Queensland has confirmed no new cases for the seventh consecutive day. Australia's AAA credit rating has been reaffirmed by ratings agency Moody's. It comes despite the country moving into its first technical recession in nearly 30 years. Moody's says the rating reflects the strength of the Australian economy. However, it's predicting the economy will shrink by 5% this year, citing increased debt and reduced Chinese demand for exports. The Treasurer, Josh Frydenberg, told Sky News the rating is a vote of confidence in the Australian economy.
The credit rating of the sovereign impacts on the cost of borrowing, whether it's by state governments or indeed whether it's by banks. And so this is important for the economy as a whole.
The federal opposition leader will today outline Labor's plan to negotiate a bipartisan energy deal with the government. In a letter sent to Prime Minister Scott Morrison last night, Anthony Albanese said Labor is open to supporting carbon capture and storage, but will not budge on nuclear power. In an address to the National Press Club today, Mr. Albanese will call for a bipartisan energy policy that includes higher emissions reduction targets. He told the ABC the government and opposition should be able to agree on a framework for energy policy.
We're flexible about it. We've said whether it's the NEG or an emissions intensity scheme or a clean energy target, you should be able to agree on that framework that provides that investment certainty.
A new federal integrity watchdog is being set up to target hacking, foreign meddling and cheating in Australia's higher education sector. The Federal Education Minister Dan Tehan says the unit will ensure universities continue to focus on the student experience and maintain the highest levels of quality. It will also address threats facing research integrity and admissions standards and will have the power to order courts to shut down websites that help students cheat. Police, intelligence agencies, prosecutors and Home Affairs officers will all cooperate with the watchdog. Super netball players have slammed a radical rule change that will see teams awarded 2 points rather than one for goals shot from long range. The idea was trialled in a bushfire charity match earlier this year. The rule will be implemented for this year's Super Netball season, which begins in August, but will only apply to the final 5 minutes of each quarter. Melbourne Vixens shooter Caitlin Thwaites is among the critics of the rule change. She claims players were not consulted before the change was announced. Australian captain Caitlin Bassett has also questioned the decision.
National Radio News is supported by the Judith Nielsen Institute for Journalism and Ideas and the Community Broadcasting Foundation, cbf.org.au.
And now for the latest weather on Alive 90.5, brought to you by Concise Finance, your local mortgage broker.
It's currently a cool 13 degrees and we're looking towards a top of 18 degrees today. Partly cloudy, slight chance of shower in the afternoon and evening. The winds are going to be from the west, 15 to 25 kilometres an hour, tending around to the southwest and up to 30 kilometres an hour. In the middle of the day, the sun will set tonight at 4 minutes to 5. And looking for the rest of the week, Thursday, sunny, 6 to 19. Friday, mostly sunny, 7 to 18. Saturday, mostly sunny, 8 to 17, Sunday, mostly sunny again, and 6 to 17. The moon is a waxing crescent with first quarter next Sunday, the 28th.
The updated traffic, brought to you by Fernwood Gym of Seven Hills and North Rocks on Alive 90.5.
Ingleburn, Hume Highway just past Campbelltown Road. A crash of multiple vehicles with heavy traffic conditions. 104 northbound lanes closed. And that's pretty much all we have at the moment for the traffic. And let's go into the show.
Well, we should, Rob.
It's 5 minutes past 10. You're live, 90.5. Business Insights with Mario.
Yes, that's very true. Good morning to all listeners to Live 90.5 Business Insights with Mario. And as Darren says, it's a quite chilly morning with the sun, but you know, we should manage this with our guests in studio to rise the temperature. Now, before we start, I'd like to say a few words about our guest today. Good morning to all listeners and thank you for tuning in today, another episode of the Business Insights with Mario. Needless to say, big thanks to all supporters, listeners, and as well, big thanks to sponsors of Live 90.5. Live 90.5 is the best community radio station in Australia, and all of that because of you. You, dear listeners and sponsors. Darren, give me that look. On other note, truly thankful for having today in the studio, amazing producer and a mentor who makes my show sounds good. Darren Capes Davis, you should check him. He's a good-looking man, smart man, very educated man, and he makes the things very well. And before I introduce our guest on today's show, I would like to share a few words with all of you. For the moment, I would like you all hear this quote and take a deep breath and think. This is the quote, Darren. The greatness of a man is not how much wealth he acquires, but in his integrity and his ability to affect those around him positively. You know who said that? Bob Marley. Wow. So question I do have for all of you is how positively you affect people around you. As much I don't talk about my life, which is ordinary, I will share with you one story from my life. In year 2014 was the year for me, which was eye-opening decision. Then planning passed and my alignment with some individuals brought sheer destruction, not only my financial level, business level, family level, but on the top of all this, I got the news that my boy developed some medical condition, which basically doesn't have the cure. He can live the life, but protected in a bubble wrap. Such a life, huh? And well, that's a life, eh? Wrapped in a bubble wrap. Dealing with all going obstacles and now dealing with my son's medical condition. I was on Spring Flower Day in 2014, Darren, let me tell you this one. So you can bet I'm not for sure now, but I reached deep inside of me and found reasons why to give the best of me. So I opted to do something for which most of people would say, are you suicidal? Yes, suicidal. Not, I'm not suicidal. I decided to step into the ring despite my age and being wounded 3 times in the war. Dropping my Crimea River attitude, I started to train for one simple reason. My son knew it and I'm new going through hell. Few other people as well, but I wasn't ready to give up. Yes, I have been laughed and certainly made fun of, but I didn't give a damn. All I wanted to inspire was to inspire my son to fight for his life. Yes, fight together with me. He helped me rubbing all these creams and ointments to subsidize the pain. And after the first match, which I lost, I lost. I inspired my son and many others to train, to not to give up, not to stop believing themselves. And as I say, like I'm 48 years old, man, so I'm the senior citizen. So did I positively influence others? Perhaps. I leave this to be judged by others and you. I know, boxing savage, yes it is. But when you walk into that ring and imagine the ring as a life, what you bring in, it's what you bring out. It's all what you have. No mom, no dad, no friends, wife, husbands, just you. And the point that we have in the studio, someone who done more and beyond, not only to create legacy, but to influence others to achieve more. People are looking for shortcuts and hacks. Hacks for happiness, joy, good-looking body, being smarter, being richer. There is no easy road. There is not a hack. To reach the goals and to achieve the best results require hard work, practice, dedication, discipline, and most important, desire. Our guest today in the studio is the world champion who done all on his own, working for the world championship title day and night. Sacrifice, dedication, determination, persistence, world champion. He is. Our guest is here not to impress. He is not here to sell you hack, how to, or show you shortcuts in life. He is here to show you the way that you can do it, that you can achieve it, that you can influence positively others with your actions. Yes, yes, dear listeners. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Alive 90.5 FM Business with Mario, it is a true privilege and honor to present you today our guest, Nick Jones, world champion, few-time successful businessman, the water father. And yes, Darren, he knows English better than me. Nick, welcome to the studio. Thank you for finding time to be with us and share your experience and knowledge on how to become better us.
Thank you, Mario. Jeez, that was a big introduction. Thank you so much. Huge. Thank you.
So imagine how much I need to write this on English here. Like, it took like 6 hours. I called Darren twice this morning. Like, it's like 2 o'clock in the morning. Darren, this is good. This is good.
Back to sleep, Mario.
Well, Darren,
it was very good.
Yeah, did you like it? I missed something, you're going to add now during the show. But thank you for coming to the show today, Nick.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And you are the world champion. So I need to open now your bio for the talking of this one.
Sure.
So, Nick, how did you find the studio?
How did you
travel from the Cronulla, right?
Yes, yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Did you feel the sharpness in your lungs and in the fresh air? It's like, oh, this is not the ocean, Darren. What do you think?
It's beautiful around. I love the Hills District. It's beautiful around. I said that when I turned up and saw you in the car park. It's beautiful in the Hills District.
Best place in the world.
It's pretty good. I'm a bit far from the beach for me, but I do love it.
Well, yeah, that's a shy for you.
Yes, they call it God's country.
Yes, indeed.
I don't mind what beach, any beach in the world, I feel at home. As long as there's any beach, doesn't have to be the Shire, it can be any beach whatsoever.
Well, you've done a lot, Nick, and I know you for some time now. You'll be highly referred to a good friend of mine, Anthony Maniscalco, and he told me, call him magician. And I said, like, I can't call him a magician. Like, what trick he does, he says to me, what you need the most, the six-pack. You know what I mean? So I realized I have no six-packs. So I turned myself down to Nick. Yeah? So, Nick, before we take the break, short break, tell us, who is the Nick?
Whoa, depends how far we want to go back. Really, it depends. There's kind of a long story, a lot of ups and downs and ins and outs. I was born in Essex in the UK many, many, many years ago. I think the same year as you, Mario, 71. Oh, you're 72. You're a spring chicken. You're a baby. 71. I'm older. I'm the oldest one in the room. So I was born in Essex, but we came out here when I was quite young. I was just a baby at 18 months with my mum and dad and my brother Chris and moved to Adelaide.
Yeah.
It was only, I think I was about six and mum and dad split up, which was having a single parent was unusual back then.
Yeah.
Times have changed so much with a family unit. Yeah. What you call a normal family unit these days is very different to what it was when we were growing up. Yeah. But to have a single parent back then was quite different and brought a lot of challenges. God bless her. My mum did a fabulous job. We spent many years in housing commission because there wasn't much money and mum worked full time as well as looking after myself and my brother Chris. I did get in a lot of trouble, really, ultimately, and that's...
You say this in your bio. Can you just elaborate this? You know what I mean? That doesn't mean, you know I mean, you can teach Darren to be a nicer boy, you know what I mean, like me. So, like, you know, Darren is a very violent person. So, what do you mean by troubled years?
Well, I was a troubled teen, and I guess most teenagers are, Mario, but I, you know, growing up with a single parent, I guess I had a lot of anger inside of me, a lot of anger issues. And when I'd be put under pressure, that anger would come out. So I'd end up at parties, high school parties, and be the first guy in the punch up, you know. So, and I learned to box when I was quite young, and I was little. So if anyone gave me a hard time, it was on. So I got in quite a lot of trouble as a teenager, really ultimately, in many ways, bodybuilding is what saved me, but. The troubles that I got in, the challenges I had when I was growing up, all of that shaped me. In your introduction, it was very interesting to talk about. You know, I listened to something that was quite prominent within that, and whether you're wanting success, whether it be financial success, whether it's a business, whether it's your sport, it requires discipline, it requires dedication. But there are no secrets to it. It's an ongoing process.
Yeah, but people, we believe, oh, I was the one of the you know, I don't know, Darren, did you ever feel that way? But people looking for the hacks. They're looking
no
for the shortcuts,
thing.
You know what I mean? And when you know, no secrets, you know what I mean? Like when I see, you know, how much invested yourself you are into your body to look in and become world champion. It's not a Rocky Balboa 3x in the morning and I'm in and running just in. I mean, because it's required education, but you're a successful businessman as well. But Darren, we should take a short break to our guest had a sip of water. You're listening live 19.5 Businesses with us in the studio. It's Nick Jones from Gentech, the world champion, and he's gonna share with us more about his story. Stay tuned.
Alive 90.5.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sometimes she's here, can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space. With the air, like I don't care, baby, by the way. Huh? Because I'm happy. Clap along.
For a funeral can be a financial burden. However, have you ever thought of paying off a prepaid funeral with none of the ongoing premiums that is associated with funeral insurance? $1,000 can get you started. Hills Family Funerals, a family-owned and operated business of 35 years, can make it easier for you. Call 02 9659 0900. Ask for Richard Spiteri or speak to one of the friendly staff members to learn how. Get assistance today. Call Hills Family Funerals, station sponsor.
Chambers Cellars Winston Hills, proudly independent cellars, has a wide selection of wines from Australia's unique wine regions, as well as local and international beers and spirits. Pop in and meet Mark and the team, who will give you the best advice at the right price. Open 7 days a week, Chambers Cellars, your local cellars for all your entertaining needs and for relaxation. Chambers Cellars, station sponsor.
In 20 metres, turn left.
You don't always like doing what you're told.
I said left.
But driving in floodwater, you know better than that.
Dangerous conditions ahead. Calculating new route.
Even a few centimetres of floodwater can get you into trouble. So stop, turn around, find a safer way.
You have reached your destination safely.
Remember, drive through a flood, you could be gone in a flash. Brought to you by the New South Wales SES and NRMA Insurance. Find out more at stormsafe.com.au.
You're listening to the sound of Alive 90.5.
It's 21 minutes past 10. You're on Alive 90.5. Business Insights with Mario. Take it away.
Well, Darren, you know, that was a good discussion with Nick. You know what I mean? Like, I need to temper your aggressiveness and my aggressiveness.
Oh,
you know,
most
like,
definitely.
Just like but I bet you're gonna win after this show. You know, I guarantee you, with the Nick, you're gonna win the Tour de France. But you know what I mean? I'm just pushing Darren to do the Tour de France, because Darren is a lover of the cyclism, and he every day pedaling 100 kilometers. And preparing him for the Tour de France along with the Nick Jones from the Gentech. I know we're going to have the good advertising there, and we're going to do great things. But Nick, back to you. You yes. said you are the aggressive one in the school, and you want to fight and everything else. So, like, what changed that attitude?
What changed? Ultimately, two things changed. It one was nearly going to prison. That was number one.
Can we know why?
Well, leading into it was assault, so I'd get in a fight and I'd get put on assault. So I was an angry kid, you know, but I wasn't a bad kid. I was just circumstances and my upbringing but people that knew me knew I had a good heart, but I was wild. I had this anger that would come out. So ultimately, I was 18 years old. I'd had three assault charges as a juvenile. But when I went to court, I was working in the oil field at the time, two weeks on, two weeks off.
Yeah,
and which was a great job. That really, I look back at it and think it's similar to my wife is Greek, and the Greek nationals, they do 2 years in the army.
Yeah.
For me, working in the oil and gas fields was like doing army from the age of 17 till the age of 20. It made me grow up and become a man. I was working with men. We're working 12 to 16 hours a day out in the heat in the middle of the desert. And you had to become responsible for your own act. You had to be a man. You had to grow up. So that helped me. But whilst I was out working 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off, I was awaiting this court case. And I was reading a bodybuilding magazine because, again, I'd started training with weights. Seriously, I always liked the look of the superhero. And ever since I can remember, probably, I think, 3 years, 4 years of age would be my oldest memory of seeing a man with a muscular physique and then loving the He-Man cartoons. And so I was always very inspired to look that way. So I think I was into my training, into my bodybuilding. I read a muscle magazine out in the middle of the desert in the oil field, and there was an article at the back of the magazine on meditation. And it was by a guy called Frank Zane. And it had such a profound impact on me. It was such a turning point to read that article on meditation, because Frank Zane, he was one of my favorite bodybuilders of all time. Frank Zane was the Mr. Olympia, professional Mr. Olympia in the late 70s. 3 years running, Frank Zane was in between Arnold's wins of 70 to 75, and then Arnold came back in 1980 at the Sydney Opera House. But the years in between, Frank Zane won three of them. Now, Frank Zane impressed upon me so much because he was obviously an extreme physical specimen. I mean, he was Mr. Olympia, really had the best physique in the world. So he was an extreme physical specimen, but Frank Zane also had a degree in experimental psychology. So he's a very intellectual man. Yeah, he was a very intellectual man, but he was also a Zen Buddhist master. So he was heavily into meditation, and it really impressed upon me that you could look that way, be intellectual, and also be a very spiritual individual and in touch with his spirituality. So he impressed upon me, and from that day on, I tried meditating, and from that day on, something woke up, something in me that set me on a personal quest, really, of self-development. And it really did stem from that one article in a bodybuilding magazine. And thank God, when I went back to Adelaide and went to court, I got a suspended sentence. I was very, at 18, fresh-faced, muscly, good-looking little boy at 18. I was very, very lucky. So I feel like in many ways I've always been blessed. I've always been watched over because, you know, some may call it luck and being in the right place at the right time. But after such a troubled upbringing, I really feel very, very blessed, and I do seem to be in the right place at the right time.
Nick, that's a great story. If I may, you know, I heard something very similar, which is dating before your age and my age, Schwarzenegger.
Yes.
And, you know, I heard some of his stories, you know, how he started that. As well, he saw the magazine and he saw that some guy in U.S., you know, I mean, he said, I want to be in U.S. It's interesting how some small things, unpredictable, come in your life and change your life. So did you start training, you know, bodybuilding when you're 17 or when you come back from the oil fields?
No, earlier, I was 15.
Oh,
I was 10 when I first started training with my brother. We got a broomstick and some house bricks and used to do curls and overhead presses. But I got my first weight set for my 15th birthday.
Yeah.
And trained weights for about 2 or 3 months in my bedroom when I was 15 in Adelaide.
Yeah.
And you know, which the COVID reminded me of, because I was training at home in my garage with a pair of dumbbells and a barbell, which was kind of cool. But after a couple of months of training at home, I joined my first gym when I was 15.
Just for curiosity, and Darren, that's related to you as well. Maybe you remember, because, you know, you're in Australia longer than I am, and Darren as well, just only 22 years. But describe me the first gym you walked in and you joined. How did that gym was look like? You too, Darren, do not run from that question, man. So tell us.
Well, it wasn't a hardcore bodybuilding gym.
It wasn't like
gym.
You know, like fancy equipment and all this.
No. It was a fitness center though. It was a little fitness center, Glenelg Spa and Fitness.
In Adelaide, yeah?
In Adelaide, yeah. Glenelg Beach, right?
Yeah.
So Glenelg Spa and Fitness, that was the first gym I went in. It was a fitness center. There was two universal multi-stations and one bench press and a very small rack of dumbbells.
How much was the membership then?
$195 per year. So it was $195 per year it was, and I remember that because I got a job at the gym and I used to sell the memberships.
Oh, okay. Darren, your first gym, how was it for me?
It was next to work, so it would have been in the mid-90s. And I think it was a couple hundred bucks for 6 months or something like that. I did a bit, but I didn't really get onto it. And it wasn't until probably 15 years later when I found the bike and the road and hills. And then I knew I found my calling.
Yeah, that's interesting, you know, like, because the gyms are evolved a lot. But we're going to talk about this one. I remember in the ex-Yugoslavia coming from, it was something like this, you know. I mean, it's all well, the things, there's no safety, and there's nothing. But interesting enough, how the in Australia gyms evolves and how personal training evolves as well. Well, take a short break, Darren. You know, with us in the studio, it's Nick Jones from Gentech, and he's going to share with us his story, how he became the world champion. You're listening live 90.5 Business Insights with Mario and Darren. And stay tuned, you're going to love it next coming.
Alive 90.5.
is a nationally recognised mortgage broking firm with an integrated and holistic approach to financial services. We are built on the foundations of a tailored experience for each customer. With extensive experience in residential and investment property loans, we are the mortgage broking firm that will help you secure your financial freedom. The ethos at Concise Finance is to fully engage with clients to get it right the first time. If you're looking for your next property or to better your interest rates, call one of the team from Concise Finance on 1300 978 357. Station sponsor.
Hi, Alan Barnes here from Dural Shop. I opened our shop intending to always listen, really listen, to our customers so we could fully understand and meet their pool needs. Along with that, we stocked the top brands of pool chemicals, cleaners, pumps, filters, heaters, fittings, spare parts, you name it. You'll find full details on our website at duralpoolshop.com.au, or better still, drop in and see me and the gang at Shop 2, 270 New Line Road, Dural. We'll help you to get your pool just the way you want it.
Dural Pool Shop, station sponsor.
Alive 90.5, broadcasting to the hills, Parramatta and Cumberland.
It's 26 minutes to 11. You're on Alive 90.5, Business Insights with Mario.
No!
Oh, yes, we are. What's wrong, Mario?
No!
Well, to all listeners, Alive 90.5, Business Insights with Mario. We have a really, very unique guest in the studio. You know, he doesn't share the hack. You know, we're all looking for the hacks. We're looking for the shortcuts. There is not a shortcuts in your life. You want to do something, you're going to do everything. You're going to do hard yakka. And our guest in studio, he's a world champion, not once, but a few times, and he's still kicking hard, and he's sharing his knowledge, how he achieved and he conquered the title of the world champion. But before that, you know, you can go on Google and you can search for Nick Jones from the Gentech, and he's going to continue sharing with us in his road to become the world champion. And you know, we have the in the break slightly conversation.
Yes.
You know, today fitness industry it's different from what you experience when you're 15 years old. And today you can buy the supplements. Thank God, like people like yourself, you know. And as I said, like with Darren's gonna, you're gonna pump him up to win the to the fence. So I want to say that's my man. When you started bodybuilding, you know, which was considered sport, which is like, you know, was not attractive then, but now it's very attractive. And there was no the food meal plans, the proteins, everything else. What did you eat? You said the Weet-Bix, and
I grew up on Weet-Bix. I'm an English kid, but I'm really an Aussie kid because I came out at 18 Darren. Months old.
Oh, it's coming.
Weet-Bix kids.
You got it. You know, Darren. You know it well. So that's what, and it was affordable, and mum was on that single income, and we'd have Weet-Bix every day. So that never really changed. It went from that to porridge to oatmeal in the winter.
Porridge, oatmeal.
That's a breakfast of champions. I have to make you porridge. I'll make you a good one. Don't worry. The high protein version,
this is
Darren.
The date,
you'll like mine. Even my kids like it.
Okay, the Tour de France isn't happening.
No.
Not if I have to eat porridge.
It's the breakfast of champions. The cyclists would love it. You know, they give it to horses the last 3 days before they race normally. They take them off the hay and they put them on oats. Yeah. They reckon if they don't run, and they eat oats, they go crazy. Those
sounds
those
like
big
should
animals.
Be a music group. Hay and Oats.
Hay and Oats, yeah. Probably almost was. Who was that?
Hall and Oats.
Yeah, Hall and Oats.
Hay and Oats.
So you have the porridge with Bix.
Breakfast of champions. And then I really just ate sandwiches midday, but I did buy my first supplements when I was 15 from the local health food store.
Yeah.
And that was
did you mention some anabolic steroids or something?
Yeah, this is nature's own. They would get strung up these days. And I don't know, am I allowed to mention brand names?
Of course, I am. Well, yeah. Well, this is
briefly.
So, you know, a long, long time ago, the local health food store, I got the Swiss milk and egg protein.
Yeah.
Massive company now, but it was a very small company. Swiss milk and egg protein was my protein powder. I didn't know about supplements. And Nature's Own had this product called, this is the health food store. It was herbal anabolic steroids. Yeah. And I looked at it and thought, well, gee, that must do something. I was 15, you know. So I used the herbal product and the protein powder and just then ate normal, really. Just ate, you know, whatever mum was cooking up for dinner, or I'd cook up some chicken and Yeah, it really was just sandwiches in the day, and nothing much changed. I didn't really know about the nutrition.
Yeah.
You know, there wasn't the internet back then, Mario. There wasn't, I didn't have access to books on bodybuilding. When I first started getting the magazines, though, was not too long after that, and I joined a bodybuilding gym. The first gym I trained at wasn't a bodybuilding gym, but I joined Woodlands Gym. My brother was a baker, and a fellow he was working with got back into his bodybuilding training and taught my brother how to train like a bodybuilder. So, of course, when Chris told me what he was doing and how he was training and I saw how he was growing, I wanted some of that, you know, so I went to the bodybuilding gym.
Why did you want to be a bodybuilder? What was it then, you know, your agenda or your key objective or your goal? Why did you want to become muscly guy in the gym when everybody was average Joe then? You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, it's funny. It was always in my psyche as long as I can remember. I remember seeing a guy, a really muscular guy at a beach, big guy. I remember, it's a strange, you know how you have these visions. I can't remember my early childhood well at all, but I remember being at the beach and there was a muscular guy with a beautiful looking lady. I think I was three, and he had the baby on his shoulders and was walking down the beach. So from that, along with then all the cartoons of superheroes, but mainly He-Man was my favorite. I just loved the look of a big, strong, muscular physique. And I think the other thing, there's a psychological aspect to it as well. When you're a bit broken inside, when you're a little broken inside from your life experiences, you want to build this coat of armor as well, because then nothing can get in and no one can hurt you. So there's probably a bit of a not negative connotation to it, but I think there's a motivation that comes from psychologically building this coat of armor, being strong, appearing to be strong, and nothing can then hurt you because you've been hurt emotionally through your upbringing. So I think there was probably a lot of layers to it, but you know, I certainly remember always wanting to look and be big and muscular from pictures I'd seen as a young man, superheroes mainly.
That's interesting, eh? Danny, what do you think about that?
He-Man, I'm thinking He-Man.
He-Man was the best, He-Man.
That was a cartoon.
Masters of the Universe.
Yeah, with his sword.
He-Man!
Yeah!
Grayskull. By the power of Grayskull, that's right.
Grayskull, yes. Like, you know, remember as a kid I was watching that one. He was, you know, he was huge.
Yeah.
Because when first time I saw the bodybuilder in my life was Conan Barbarian, you know, I mean, Schwarzenegger.
Yes.
The movie that nobody talks.
Yeah, we're in primary school then. That's right.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
And then, 76 or 77.
And then you see him, he's like, wow, like, look at that. Like, it's just like a gigantore, you know what I mean? And, you know what I mean, you think yourself, like, you can't reach this one. But thanks to dedication. So when was your first eyesight on a prize? When did you decide to say, I'm going to compete?
It wasn't really me. It was the guys in the gym that encouraged me. So I was training and I was right into my training and I was making all the mistakes. I was overtraining, probably not eating well enough, but I was in there training hard. So back then when you trained at a bodybuilding gym, there was no such thing back then as coaches for training and nutrition as there are today to compete. No such thing as coaches, but it was the older guys and the bigger guys in the gym. And one of them in particular was competing in the Mr. South Australia contest.
Okay.
The NABBA Mr. South Australia, Kim Schultz was his name. May he rest in peace. Kim saw me in the gym and used to see me training, and I was always kind of social. I always sort of liked people and liked talking to people. So I'd always chat with Kim after training because he was so focused, and I'd see how hard he would train. And I guess he saw something in me and he said, Nick, I'm going to compete in a couple of weeks' time. And I said, yeah, I noticed you're looking a bit different. You know, he'd lost all his body fat and he was losing his cheeks and his jawline was coming out. And he said, I'm going to compete. Are you going to come to the contest? And I said, I'd love to come to the contest. And the closer the contest got, he said to me, come backstage at the start of the night before the teenagers go on. I was 18 at the time. Come backstage and have a look at the teenagers backstage, because before you see them up on stage with the tan and the lights, they look so much bigger once they get on stage. But you need to see them backstage, because I reckon you can hang with these guys. I reckon you can do this. So come backstage and see the guys pumping up and you'll get a good idea of the standards you need to be, because I think you can do this. So this is a guy that was competing. He got second in the Open that year, but he showed some belief in me, invited me backstage, and certainly I did that, and I saw the teenagers backstage getting ready.
So you're getting hooked.
Yeah, he was getting me hooked. He was showing me the lay of the land, what happens at a competition, rather than just being a fan sitting in the audience, getting backstage and seeing where it all happens and seeing the guys up close, not up on stage. Because when you get up on stage with the oil and tan in front of those lights, so much of it's illusion. I think that's where Anthony said I'm a magician, because bodybuilders are. It's all smoke and mirrors, I say, with bodybuilding. It's all illusion. You look a lot bigger if you're in condition when you're under the lights with tan on. So I saw these guys backstage, and one of them was outstanding. Jimmy Kabos, little Greek guy. He went on to win the Nationals. He won the Australian title. Jimmy was outstanding. The other three were okay. But Kim said, what do you think? You know, you can hang with these guys? And I'm looking at Jimmy going, no way. But I start lying to him. I start going, I can hang with these guys. I'm looking at Jimmy going, oh, this guy's good. But the other guys, I seriously thought, yeah, I could stand up there. I could get up there with these guys. So that's what made me start thinking about competing.
And then you start training hard.
Started training even hard. I was always training as hard as I possibly could. I love the training. I love the training more than the result. I love the training. So I always trained hard. But then getting ready for the contest, there was some adjustments with diet. Again, I didn't know much at all. The older guys in the gym would give you a little bit of information, just a little bit,
I was jealous. You try to see, are these kids going to become better than I am? And I mean, so like, give you a little bit as possible.
Yeah, I don't know that I was that good, Mario.
So bodybuilding, good. I look in Darren. Darren is, he drives a cycle. Bicycle, and he crushes 50 kilometers. 50 kilometers, you think, on a bike is not long. It is long. Bodybuilding, it's even longer. What motivates you when you to train few hours per day? What motivates you? Do you wake up in the morning? So we're talking about that pre-world champion period, even today, that you wake up in the morning and say, I need to share with our listeners, I must say that Nick Darren, he suggested me to, start eating some different things in my life. Every meal 9 a.m., 12 p.m. or something like this, right? And it's become boring, But, you see results slowly, in my case, very slow, but you can see results. But what push you to be in a gym for numerous hours in a gym eating continuously, let's just the same food, I don't know what you're eating, but what keeps you there alerted and persistent to go and sweat? It's a lonely job. It's a lonely world. It's only you.
Sure. I mean, the time that we spend training as bodybuilders is nothing like the cyclists. Yeah. Nowhere near the volume. To be honest, I train in the gym. Even back then, I used to overtrain. I used to train for an hour and a half, 2 hours is too long. The major portion of my bodybuilding competitive days, I train for 1 hour. 1 hour and 15 maximum, 4 days a week. That's all I do in the gym. That's all I would. I wouldn't train more than that.
You're going to tell us this.
Yeah, it's not a lot of time. The discipline and what motivates me to train, I love the training. I love it. There's something very grounding about the training. But the discipline comes with the nutrition. That's the hard part. That is the hard part and maybe the most important part. I mean, both are important, but the nutrition's probably more important. But the training, what motivates me to train, I think it's the feeling I get when I train, and it's very easy to be philosophical looking back, but I think quite simply back then I was so raw, I wanted to develop muscle, and it was very grounding for me. It gave me something at that age I think was really important, because the work that I put in showed a result, and I was the one that was in control. I was the one that was in control of doing the work and getting the result, which I think is a great metaphor that set me up for everything I've done in my life, whether it be business, parenthood. Do the work, get the results. And it's only you that can do the work. So the training, the training itself, it wasn't, I've got to have discipline and I need to be motivated. I love the training. I loved it. But that feeling I got, along with all of the endorphins you produce when you train, that feeling I got at the end of each workout, that feeling of accomplishment, that feeling that I'd put in the work and I'd push myself a lot of the time beyond where I'd ever gone before, that was the feeling, and that was what motivated me, was the feeling. Right. And I think certainly there are times where it's hard and you don't feel like going to the gym. There were certainly times like that, especially when I'd started competing, was on a low calorie diet. Because unlike cycling and a lot of other sports, with bodybuilding, to get ready for a contest, you're on a restricted calorie diet and you are trying to push yourself beyond your previous personal bests on restricted calories. So you're starving yourself, yet you've got to perform at your highest ever level. So that's very, very, very challenging. That's the tough part of bodybuilding and also maintaining that diet and structure for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for up to 20 weeks leading into a contest. There's a lot of discipline in that. That's where the discipline is.
Darren, what keeps you motivating pedaling?
The feeling.
Feeling.
I know what the feeling's like. Going out, riding hard, going up a hill, getting a PB on Strava as I do. Oops, I said a brand. Oh, well. that feeling does motivate you. And you just got to make sure that feeling is above and beyond getting up in the morning when it's 5 degrees and the sun's not up.
Yes. Yeah, that's it, right? That's it, exactly. It's what's more painful, what's more pleasurable? I think it's an instant motivating factor with all of us as humans is if you associate more pain to something, you're likely not to do it. If you associate more pleasure to it, and the thing with a lot of athletes and you as well, Darren, with the riding is I think if you can associate pleasure to going through that pain, the payoff is worth it. If the payoff is worth it and you know what the feeling's going to be and you can project yourself towards that feeling, you get up out of bed at 5 a.m. and you do the work because you know how you're going to feel at 7 if you've done the work. And you also know how you're going to feel at 7 if you hit the snooze button and stay under the doona until 7 and get up having done nothing. You notice how different the feeling will be at 7 a.m. Yes. If you've done the work and accomplished something, or if you've stayed in bed and blown off the work, you know what the feeling's going
to
be.
I know that, this 2 hours going to not be enough to talk to you because there's so many questions. I want to compare some of your work with the people on YouTube, particularly some people who are the rocks and everything else, with their stories. But now, before we take a short break, was anybody there who told you you cannot be the world champion, stop doing this, what you're doing, it's a waste of time? And who is the people who help you, support you on that road to be successful?
It's a good question, Mario. It's kind of a hard one to answer because becoming a world champion for me in bodybuilding just was one step at a time. I only ever focused on the next contest. So you start out with local competitions like the Adelaide titles were my first titles. And, you want to go in and place top three in your first contest. Mm-hmm. If you're lucky enough to win it, it's a bonus, which I did. Once you place at that level, you want to come back the next year and win it. Once you've won it, you want to go to the next level. You go, next year, or it was later that year, I wanted to do the Mr. South Australia, and you want to place top three, and then the following year come back and win it. And then you go, right, now I'm going to go to the Australia. And hopefully your first Australia, you place top three, which I did. I got third at my first Australia. And you go, okay, I want to go back next year and win it. And from then it goes to the Mr. Universe or the World Championships, and on it goes. So it wasn't early in my career where I looked at becoming a Mr. Olympia or a Mr. World or a Mr. Universe. It was, I want to become Mr. Adelaide and do this first contest. Then it was step by step by step, slowly. As the Greeks say, cigar. Slowly.
Well, that's an interesting story. Thank you, Nick, for sharing with us all this. To our listeners, we take a short break and our guests can take the, breather. You're listening to 90.5 Business Insights with Mari and our guest is Nick Jones from the Gentech. We are halfway through, Darren, now. It's almost 1 hour
just past
with Nick here. Anyway, we take a short break. Stay with us.
Alive 90.5.
Hey, what would you say if I can't play the hero tonight? 'Cause lately I can't get it.
Waterflow Plumbing, we trust and respect our customers. In turn, our customers know that we will always strive to put them first and treat them with respect, honesty, and give them the best in plumbing. A good relationship with our lifelong customers works both ways. We at Waterflow Plumbing are proud to assist our customers throughout the many stages of their plumbing life. For all your plumbing needs, call Waterflow Plumbing 0488 300 480 or email info@waterflowplumbing.com.au. Waterflow Plumbing, station sponsor.
Need an honest, reliable service centre for your car? Then contact United Service Centre Toongabby. They perform mechanical repairs on all types of vehicles and are specialists in top quality European cars too. And all work is at very affordable prices. You'll find them at 5 Picasso Crescent, Old Toongabby, next door to United Fuel on Fitzwilliam Road. Book your next vehicle service on 9631 1179. You'll be so impressed, you'll tell all your friends. United Service Centre Toongabby is a proud sponsor of The Morning Magazine with Happy Jack and Alive 90.5.
Thanks for listening to the best in community radio, Alive 90.5.
Yes.
It's 5 minutes to 11 on Alive 90.5. Business Insights with Murray in a few minutes. For a bit more talk before the news.
Oh, absolutely. We are truly privileged to have in the studio guest who done it all, from being the bad boy to being the world champion, being, you know, he's an awesome father and he's an awesome businessman, Nick Jones from the Gentech. And we will have the few minutes before we take the break because it's the news, 11 o'clock. Nick, so like, you know, your path was taking step by step, you know, reaching the every competition. But before competition, what was your daily work?
My daily work?
Yeah.
Oh, geez. I played Aussie rules football growing up.
Oh, okay.
So you're right. So I played Aussie rules football in the winter, cricket in the summer. And I was pretty good at sport, you know, even though I was somewhat of an underprivileged kid. I was sort of always captain of the footy team and captain of the cricket team at school. And so that was, and one of the reasons I started bodybuilding was to get stronger for playing footy.
Yeah.
But of course, you know, the bodybuilding took over. I left school at 15 and I did a whole, I reckon I must have had 20, 30 different jobs. Everything from working in fruit and veg, butcher shop, to wholesaling cars. I learned how to wholesale sell cars.
Yeah.
Worked in the oil field, like I said, 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. I did so many different jobs. Worked in a chicken factory for about 2 hours. I walked out at...
That's the shortest one.
That was the shortest one. I walked out at morning tea. I walked out. The other boys were so cruel to these chooks, you know. It was just, I couldn't take it, so I left that one. So I had so many different jobs. The oil field was the one that made me grow up. And then I started working in health food stores. There was one day I made a decision. I was 21. I made a decision that I was going to make money doing what I loved. I made a decision. I remember it well, sitting in my bedroom after a meditation session at 21 years of age. I made that decision, and I had just overcome chronic fatigue syndrome with the help of a reflex. And chronic fatigue back then, the GP said it was a, what did he say? It was a relapse of glandular fever. And the best the GP could do was...
I have no idea what that is there. Sorry.
Yeah, glandular fever, Epstein-Barr virus. It's quite a debilitating virus that it's called the kissing disease. I got it when I was 14. And it's a virus, nasty virus. And I remember having a couple of months off school, couldn't get out of bed for a couple of weeks when I was 14. So I relapsed at about 21 years of age. I mean, I was training so much, too much. I was just really, really overdoing it and ran myself down and had chronic fatigue. The best the GPs could do was give me a B12 shot. And obviously that didn't really do very much. So I saw naturopaths. I saw a bunch of different doctors. And certainly the reflexologist helped me, put me on a bunch of herbs. And I slowly, slowly overcame it. And with that, I decided that I want to get some work in a health food store and get into the health industry. Because, and help other people because it helped me so much.
You know what makes you champion as well, Nick? As Darina said, we have the truly, you know, unique opportunity interviewing you today here, and your honesty about your life, it makes you champion.
Thank you.
You're listening Live 90.5 Business Insights with Mario with us in studio, Nick Jones from Gentech, and Darren and I, we're going to guide you to the break, a little bit longer break, right, Darren? It's news and the
news
weather.
And the weather and the traffic, and we'll be back with Nick.
With Nick Jones from Gentech. Nick Jones from Gentech, and Mario Beck is the six pack is going to come, and Darren wins.
Sexiest voice on radio.
Sexual.
For the last time.
Alive 90.5.
Are you in the market to hire an honest, reliable, long-term plumber? If so, you want to look out for one that is fully licensed and insured, has your interest at heart, displays professionalism, and is branded. Neat, clean, and tidy, and treats your domain with respect and care. Look no further. Waterflow Plumbing is your plumber. Fully licensed and insured in plumbing, draining, gas fitting, roof plumbing, waterproofing, and mini excavation. Call Bradley on 0488 300480 or email info@waterflowplumbing.com.au. Waterflow Plumbing, station sponsor.
And now on Alive 90.5, here's the latest news brought to you by Pace, transforming places since 1978.
National Radio News.
Hello, I'm Laura Devoy. A Victorian man in his 80s